Self-Help SatNav is brought to you by Open Forwards. Get the latest insights into stress, anxiety, depression, relationships, work, time out, and getting stuff done by swooping over to www.openforwards.com. Hi, and welcome to episode number 6 of Self-Help SatNav. Today we're continuing with the Reinventing Your Life mini-series. And this is a 6-part series focusing on the self-help book by Jeffrey Young and Janet Klosko, which is titled Reinventing Your Life, The Breakthrough Program to End Negative Behavior. So in episode number 5, I covered an overview of life traps and coping styles. Today, I'm going to be looking more closely at the problem of abandonment. So if you haven't yet listened to episode number 5, you may want to hit pause on this episode and go back to that one. It will give you a better starting place for moving forwards on this subject. Okay, so let's get started. The fear of abandonment. So what is the fear of abandonment? Well, as you might guess, it's a strong and persistent fear that whoever you get close to will at some point step off and leave you. And this might be intentional on their part, or it might not be. For example, it might be that you just expect people will get ill and die, thus leaving you alone to survive in the world. So for the person whose life is affected by fears of abandonment, they're often on the lookout for signs that other people are intending to leave them. They become hypervigilant to these threats. So last time I also spoke about coping styles that people use as a way of coping with life traps. And these included avoidance, surrender, and overcompensation. And the kind of coping behaviours you'd expect to see with fears of abandonment look a little like this. You might be really clingy with others to keep close to them. You might be possessive and controlling, again, to try and keep them close. You might be accusing of others because you feel that they might have abandoned you already in some way. You may be showing signs of feeling jealous, getting competitive with other people you see as rivals, or you may avoid intimate relationships altogether. And finally, you might get into a pattern of choosing partners and friends who aren't able to give you much stability. They'll likely be people who will abandon you at some point, but the chemistry you feel with these people will probably be very strong and intense, but for a limited time period. It's a bit like a spark that burns bright, but burns out quickly over a matter of weeks or months. And you might get infatuated with these kinds of people, or obsessed with them. And instead of existing together alongside as separate people, you become too intertwined, too codependent. So these are some of the signs that you might be struggling with the abandonment life trap. In chapter 6 of Reinventing Your Life, the authors talk in more detail about abandonment. And there is a questionnaire that you can complete that helps you identify if this is a life trap you fall into. Let's look at some of these questions. Have people often come and gone in your life? Do you not have a stable base of support? Do you get desperate when someone pulls away? Do you need other people too much? And do you expect that in the end, you will be alone? Okay, so you've identified whether this is something that you struggle with. Let's now look at some ideas about where this comes from. So what are the roots of a fear of being abandoned? First of all, though, before we do that, I want to say something about human psychological needs. And you can also call these needs core emotional needs. And they come from, well, you have them as a child and as an adult, is what I'm trying to say. These needs are universal, regardless of your gender, ethnicity, culture, class, or nationality. These needs are there from the moment you're born to the day that you die. They vary at different times in your life and in necessity or importance between individuals, but these core emotional needs are innate. And one thing I want to highlight here is the need for safety, stability, nurturance, and acceptance. Stability is about having safety and a basic level of predictability or routine in your life. If your life is chaotic and occurs in extremes, then the lack of stability is likely to cause much fear. This is different to having some variety. Even within the most varied and exciting life, there is some stability, which allows a person to take on new adventures and new challenges. Nurturance is about feeling protected, feeling cared for, and guided by other people. This is important in childhood and adulthood. Without sufficient nurturing from others, you have to rely too heavily on yourself. And this doesn't often lead to long-term stability. For example, a person who is overly self-reliant may develop bouts of low mood and depression. And finally, to be accepted by others is to feel as though you are likable, lovable, and worthwhile as a person. Feedback from people is important in feeling accepted because when you're ignored, then you're likely to develop a sense of not being liked or feeling unimportant. Now, as you might already be thinking, these human emotional needs are affected a lot by the type of attachments you've had with caregivers earlier on in your life. Most of the time, this would be a mum or a dad, but for others, it might be grandparents, aunts, uncles, or foster parents. Secure attachments between children and caregivers are formed when the caregiver is able to make the child feel safe and ensures that home life is stable. If parents have been absent or there's a lot of chaos at home, moving about, changing homes, changing schools, then life and the world can seem too anxiety-provoking. Children then form more anxious attachments naturally. And this also happens when parents have been ill a lot growing up. This could be with a physical illness or a mental illness. Either way, parents weren't able to provide the stability and nurturance that you needed. It may not have been their fault. People don't ask to be unwell. Now, if you've got some of this from one parent but not the other, then this life trap can be avoided. You may not struggle with it as much despite having an absent parent. It may just pop up in milder forms for you. Okay, so let's summarize what we've said so far. Number one, the fear of abandonment is about feeling anxious that people will leave you. Number two, with it, you become hypervigilant to the signs that people are going to abandon you. And this takes over, you become fixated on this. Number three, you might be clingy, controlling, or competitive. You might avoid close relationships altogether, or you keep attaching to people who don't provide any stability for you. And number four, the roots of this fear are planted in childhood experiences where there was not enough stability or nurturance. caregivers didn't or weren't able to give you this. So let's now move on to looking at some of the problems with abandonment fears. And I think what might be useful now is to look at some of the problems that this life trap can cause. And the most obvious seems to me to be in relationships. When you fear abandonment, it means that you get fixated on the future threat. So it means that you're rarely living in the here and now. And so this means that you can't enjoy the contact you have with someone. Strong, close, open, and rewarding relationships require that you make choices about how you want to be in a relationship, what you want to give. Often when I've worked with clients who've struggled with this life trap, they discover that they've never really thought about this. For example, you might want to be fun, adventurous, supportive, or reliable. But getting preoccupied with fears of being left alone get in the way of you being able to connect with the other person in more meaningful and fulfilling ways. Another problem with this life trap is that you avoid close relationships altogether. So you miss out on the experience of feeling connected. And as we are all social beings, it has a negative impact on us. You're more likely to feel sadness at being alone. And health and well-being research highlights the importance of connection. And I talk more about this in the 5 Daily Helpers course, which is freely available at www.openforwards.com. And I want to say also at this point that I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. I want to say that all relationships are important here. Your friendships and your workplace relationships. Do you have friends who are reliable? Are they in range or contactable? Do they get back to you and make an effort? Do you make an effort with them, or do you avoid it because it feels safer to do so? Another problem with abandonment is that relationships can go sour through the games that you play. For example, if you get competitive a lot, then the other person can start to grow tired of this. They maybe reassure you a lot, but they have to keep giving it to help you feel calmer. And the trouble is that it only lasts for a short amount of time before you have this strong urge to ask for it again. And so it gets exhausting for the other person. And the sad and ironic thing is that they become more likely to leave you because of what you demand from them. And one final problem can occur when you keep people in your life who aren't able to give you stability. Your life then becomes this horrible film where you are reliving time and time again your worst fears. You have an almost constant state of anxiety, and the beliefs in your mind that people can't be relied upon get reinforced over and over again. The only way to break this pattern is to start investing more in relationships that are different, relationships where people can and will be more available and more supportive. So this is leading nicely now into exploring a bit about the ways forward. So despite all the challenges and problems with this life trap, there are some very useful ways forward. There are some things that you can do that will help you break free from this fear. On page 77 of Reinventing Your Life, the authors give some suggestions. Here are a few of them. Number one, understand your childhood abandonment. So identify if you think you have a biological disposition or temperament which has resulted in you being particularly anxious about separation? Did you tend to get more anxious if your parents went out for the evening or left you with grandparents for the weekend? If you're not sure about this, maybe you could ask parents or grandparents. In addition, you could try to remember times that were difficult in your past when you're growing up. Were there events that meant your parents weren't or couldn't be there with you at particular times? And was that quite upsetting for you? Number two, monitor your feelings of abandonment. I would suggest that this can be achieved by using mindful awareness. I use this a lot in my therapy work, and it helps people to slow down, bring about some increased calm, and focus on the feelings that are difficult. It also helps you to make space for these feelings rather than trying to run away from them or to fix them, which often is counterproductive. Number three, try to end being overly clingy and try to form new, healthier responses to your fears. In the book, they suggest flashcards, which I think can be helpful. I also help people to focus on their values and use this as a guide for what they want to do. For example, if an important value to someone is being supportive in relationships, try to commit to giving that instead of giving attention to the mental and emotional fears that show up. Okay, so here are just a few ideas of things that you can do to move forwards to break free of this life trap. At this point, I want to mention some challenges to doing that. And I really like this book. It's been incredibly illuminating for many clients I've worked with over the years. It has some very good techniques and methods. Although one flaw of the book, which is probably just about when it was published, is in the absence of some other methods, namely using mindful awareness and acceptance-focused interventions. These things tended to be written about and researched in more recent years since the book was written. The book does talk about acceptance in places, but the methods on how to do it, how to be more open, are missing, I think. And this can make overcoming the fear of abandonment a tough gig on your own. So seeking out a therapist to help you on this journey is likely to work in you making much more progress. Therapy relationships give you the opportunity to experience the changes for real. It's not just a theoretical exercise. A good therapist will use techniques, but they'll also use the connection you have with each other to help you move towards more workable responses. They can help you stop trying to avoid or get rid of the unwanted fears, and instead learn to experience them and express them in the safety of the therapy room. Another aspect of abandonment that I've not focused on so much in this episode is the feeling of anger. Now, anger at people who have left you can be quite strong, and learning to express that anger in healthy ways can be very tricky. You may be used to burying that anger, or you let it come out sideways through sarcasm or criticism or ignoring people. So there are some challenges, but things will never change unless you start to change them. And this book is a great place to start. You can get yourself a copy and start reading it. See what you can do through the suggestions it offers. It is a well-evidenced psychological approach, and it might be enough to help you break free of this life trap. But if it doesn't, then you can get some more help. You can seek out a therapist to coach you through it. They'll be there to support you through the steps and to work through the obstacles that will inevitably arise. So, that's it really for today's episode. Hopefully you now understand abandonment more clearly and you've got some ideas to begin tackling it. In the next episode, I'm going to be focusing on another common life trap that I see. This one, yes, like I say, I do see a lot, but the difference from abandonment is that people don't often recognize that they have it. And this life trap is called the emotional deprivation life trap. Remember that new episodes are published on the 5th of every month. And if you like the show, please head on over to iTunes and leave a rating. Apparently, it guarantees more sunshine this summer. Bye for now.